All right. Well, welcome to a special edition of the SJHL Insider Podcast. I'm Jamie Neugebauer, joined by Rory McGorin and Nick Nielsen. First of all, fellas, we'll start with you, Rory. How are you doing? How are you surviving the final so far?
Great. No one expected a 3-0 series lead for the Melford Mustangs, but fair to say that game three was the best of the bunch so far. Wild third period, one of the best overtime periods that you'll see. Unfortunately, ended on a missed call, but that's just the way it goes sometimes, right? Refs are human, players are human, and now Melford Mustangs with a 3-0 series lead and a chance to close it out tonight.
Yeah, for sure, Nick. Talking to the Flintown Bombers this morning at morning skate, seeing them around Mike Reagan, certainly felt the sense of hope that they've been kind of getting better as the series have gone on, at least process wise and on the ice wise, but maybe not the results. Are you seeing it that way too?
Yeah, I think Flin Flon's gotten better as this series has went on. I mean, I watched that interview already, and Mike Reagan's right. That first game, kind of a throwaway. The second game, they had some really good pressure, especially in the second period. And then the third period or third game here, we saw them with a full-fledged attack pretty much all game. And again, especially that second period, they outshot Melford 18-9, I think is what it was in the second period there. Special teams starting to click for the Bombers as well. We saw them get a power play goal thanks to Carter Anderson on a one-timer. We saw their penalty kill probably the best that it's looked here and didn't give Melford a lot of really good looks. I remember one penalty kill they had in the second period. I think Bombers, there was only one face-off that entire time, and I think it was an offside on Melford trying to cut into the zone. So not a lot of stoppages of play in their own end on the penalty kill as well. The Bombers are starting to look better, but it's almost looking too little too late. This Melford Mustangs team has played this series to a T.
Yeah, well, I mean, you said it may be a little too late, but Rory, like, there's one coach in the league that has some recent experience coming back from 3-0. It's Mike Reagan. Obviously, that series in 2019, the Bombers made it all the way back to Game 7 against the Battleford's North Stars, down 3-0. Of course, Game 7, as Mike said in that interview this morning, was in North Battleford at the Access Communications Center. This time, if they do get all the way there, it would be the Whitney Forum. And boy, that would be crazy if they rallied and the Whitney Forum was game seven. But I guess, Roy, what are some of the boxes that you have to see to say, there is some hope here for Flin Flon that's not over?
Well, everyone knows the fourth game is the hardest to win, right? And I think for Flin Flon, it's just believing in one another that your game is at a place where you want it to be following game three. They know that if they win game four, they're going back home for game five, right? And then they're at the Whitney Forum. If they're able to take game five, it's just a snowball effect. So I think it's not hanging your heads down. It's an incredibly deep hole. Play like you did in game three. It was a 1-0 game all the way into the third period. They got the goaltending they needed from Harmon Laser Hume. They got some of the secondary scoring, Keith Gruner, Adam McNutt scoring. They got the power play goal. They shut down the penalty kill. So those were all the things they wanted. And then just a bad bounce went their way and puts them in a 3-0 hole. So you can't give up yet because it's one win, it's one shift at a time. I think that's the only box. If they play the same way, the only box is just not giving up and keep believing in each other because you bring it back to Whitney for game five, and then anything could really happen. And now pressure's starting to feel on that Melford Mustang side. But yeah, tough hole.
There's one more box I think Flin Flon needs to check here, and it's one that we didn't see as much of in game one and two. I think we started to see it in game three. There's one very clear advantage the Flin Flon Bombers have over the Mustangs, and that's speed. Up front, especially on that forward group. I think if the Bombers can make this game a fast-paced attacking game, I mean, that's why the Bombers did so well in this game three, is because this was probably the fastest game of the series. If they can continue to keep their boots moving here, they might be able to skate around Melfort and find a little bit more offense too.
Yeah, no question. And you make a great point there that the Bombers have been trying to make this series a speed game for a while, and the Mustangs have slowly been letting them kind of as the series has gone on. Game one was ground and pound and make your mistake and take your chance, and it's kind of been end to end since then. But Trevor Blevins is trying to also prove that this Melford team can play, any which way. I gotta ask you too, Nick, just how much fun is this? I think it's your first time here in the finals crew. Just sort of peeling behind the curtain. Obviously, it's me and Rory on the play-by-play and the color, if people don't know. And Nolan's doing the intermissions there with Nick, and then Nick's also beside the bench. How much fun are you having in this environment?
It's so much fun getting a chance to, watch the game from right between the benches for a lot of this here in Melford, and getting to see the reactions to plays live on the bench as they happen is really, really cool. And kind of being able to hear some of the conversation a little bit. You can't hear everything, but you can hear quite a bit. You can see guys coming off the ice and they're wincing and wheezing from being out of gas and out of breath and all that stuff. And you can see some of the conversations that the coaches are having. You can see the way the players are interacting with each other on the bench too, which is something you don't really get to see very much when you're up in the booth all the time. And it's really cool to see some of those guys on the bench being a lot more vocal and being leaders that you might not expect to see.
Yeah, no, it's really interesting. And obviously, Rory, you and I have been at this now for a bunch of years now. Obviously, we did our show before even we started doing this, but it's been fun to work with you again. I always enjoy, when we get a chance to be on the broadcast. It's always so easy, it feels like, for me, anyways, because we have that chemistry of the repetitions, I think. But, again, how much fun is it for you to kind of be, the play-by-play guy is in a lot of ways the voice of it. So, that must be a lot of fun for you as well, too.
It's awesome. I think we were a little spoiled in our first time together in that back and forth game seven series between the Flin Flon Bombers, the Estevan Bruins. Had a sweep last year, and now, it very well could be a sweep this year. But yeah, it's an honor to be asked. It's a privilege to be able to do it, and it's an absolute blast to work with everyone involved. Nothing else I'd rather be doing right now in April than calling the SJHL Finals.
Yeah, especially since the weather's just really cooperated, except for the first trip that we had up there to Flin Flon, where it was a bit of a battle. But since then, it's been gorgeous. Got to go do some walking around Flin Flon there when we were up there with beautiful weather as the snow was melting and the ice was melting and whatnot. It was nice. And then it's been beautiful here in Melfort. Yeah, just a couple more questions then there, Nick. It's been really cool to see the Melfort fans come out, the Flin Flon fans come out. A lot of people talk about that Whitney Forum crowd, the enthusiasm in that community up in Flin Flon, but has to be said that the Melfort fans have matched that intensity just as much, don't you think?
Yeah, they've got their own little, I know Flin Flon calls it their Thunder Alley, and they have their own little Thunder Alley here in Melford with about two rows of people, all with noisemakers, all dressed up like crazy, right behind the Flin Flon Bombers bench. That has got to be getting in Mike Cragan's ear a little bit. Melford's crowd's not typically known for being the loudest in the league throughout the regular season. This crowd's really impressed me through game three. They were absolutely rocking that building yesterday.
Yeah, really cool. All right, well, thought I'd ha hit, throw you guys some quick hitters then, and if there's other things that you guys want to touch on, but I think the biggest thing is that it's been a lot of fun. People need to come out and watch here tonight, the Northern Lights Palace. If it goes to game five, they'll show up at the Whitney on Saturday. But first, Rory, who in your mind has been the best bomber in the series so far? Put you on the spot.
Yeah, Justin Lees jumps out, right? I was asking for more people to step up. You got goals from Keith Gruner, you got goaltending from Harmon Laserhume, but I still think it goes down to the captain. Justin Lees is the engine on that team.
Yeah, for sure. And who's been the best Mustang, Nick?
Ooh, the best Mustang. There's a couple tough ones there. James Venn has been so good. He's almost been boring to watch. Like he is very rarely has he been giving up any rebounds. And his defense in front of him, guys like Chase Freetmore. Chase Freetmore is probably my pick for best Mustang so far. They've been clearing the puck away from James Venn very quickly, and Freetmore has had some really good offensive opportunities throughout this entire series. Goals in the first two games, and had a really good opportunity in game three. I believe it was on the power play driving down the right side and tried to beat Laserhume five hole, and Laserhume got the best of him that time. But Chase Freetmore is my guy on that team.
Yeah, for sure. I've been really impressed with the depth of the Melfort Mustangs. Guys have really, really stepped up, continued, I guess, in maybe in some ways their vein from the Humboldt series, especially. But I really saw in the Humboldt series that it was the Duguay Hutchinson and Sliva line that really carried the water, especially offensively for that Melfort team. But the rest of the guys have really chipped in offensively. The big boys are still doing their job, but that's sort of how you get here, is you have a whole team effort, and the Mustangs, have to be thrilled. All right, is there anything that you guys want to get off your chest before we go on to the very last question here?
I mean, yeah. Look, I mean, the fans are going to be expecting us having this podcast following game three, talking about the offside call, and we completely haven't talked about it yet. So I feel we owe them a service to discuss and not just, you know, throw puff around it. It was a missed call, right? 100%. I get the pain of the Flin Flon Bombers. The game ended in the best game of the series on a missed call. That was, you know, on live look, looked farther away. The more angles you kind of get was close. The linesman was on the far end of the rink. Unfortunate, right? But these things happen. They happen 40 times throughout the season. They just don't happen in the game seven or game three of the finals in double overtime, right? So I get the frustration. It was offside, yes, but there's no overturning a missed referee's call. Would have I liked to see the referee not signal goal right away if he had any inkling that it may have been offside? You don't single goal, you don't signal no goal, you just put your hands in the air, and that means, okay, we're going to meet, we're going to talk, because there's no video replay, right? That's what people are wondering. Why can't you just look at, you can't look at the video replay, it's not in all 12 buildings. But if you just put your hands up, you meet, maybe a linesman does say, hey, I think that was offside, I'm 98% confident, and then they go, okay, we're gonna wave no goal. So I get the frustration. I did want to put a point out there. It was a missed call, but these things happen all the time. And there's nothing you could do about it now except for try and go win game four.
Yeah, I think two things from what you said there. The first one is, I think, you know, watching it back in real time, I honestly thought it was offside. But again, we're in a much better angle, actually, than where the linesman was, where we were standing, because the linesman was on the other side.
With the Flin Flon Bomber jersey in front of the entrance. Right. Yeah.
So my first point is, it was actually close enough that you say, yeah, there's human error. Like, it wasn't egregious. There wasn't any kind of, like, that linesman's not a bad linesman. It's not a, you know, a sell job from the league. Like, it was bang, bang enough for me to say, that's human error. That's part of the game. There you go. Now, the second thing I want to say is, maybe going forward, we make a bylaw, and I know that this can be construed in all sorts of ways. And Nick, maybe you, obviously, you were really in charge, involved with the Wayward Red Wings for a couple while there on organizing how a game looks and what goes on inside of arena and whatnot. But maybe you throw in a bylaw that says, you know, if there is ability for the referee or for the linesman to look and see if they can make the right call and overturn it, if that's the situation, it doesn't have to be across the board. It's just, what's the best way that we can make a decision in this rink, in this game? I think I'm all for that. And I don't know if you would agree with that, or if you think it's unfair that, you know, it has to be really across the board.
I agree with you, Nugsy. I think it's something that you can do. But at the end of the day, all of these teams have streams of their game in their rinks.
Yeah.
Every single rink in this league, some of it's better quality, some of it's not, but everybody has a camera that's showing this game on a stream somewhere. So at some capacity, that video evidence is going to be useful for reviews in any case. But to the point of, if you have the review in the rink or not, right now the rule in the league is you can't review it. And unfortunately, that's the end. That's where this ends here for game three. And I know there's a lot of Bombers fans who don't like that. I don't like it as well, but at the end of the day, if you don't want that to happen, you had a full period and 5 minutes of overtime there as well, where you could have ended it and it didn't get ended. Yeah. So it hates to see it end on the hands of the Stripes there with a blown call. It sucks, but it's the reality. And now the Bombers have to find a way to come back.
It wouldn't be hard to do.
No,
you would just need a tablet in the timekeeper's box hooked to Wi-Fi. The game's on Flow Hockey. You can watch it live. You can rewind. You could, you know, quickly kind of slow motion scroll through it. The only thing is, and the downside of it, to what extent, because we don't have the manpower as the NHL has, where you have 16 people quickly rewinding it, reviewing it. They have 16 angles and they're getting it in a minute. It would take the two refs to find the spot in Flow Hockey on a tablet. It would take a long time.
Well, it would take the stream time to catch up to the live play first.
Yeah. And it would just, I feel like on a play like this, that's so close. And then you're starting to review goalie interferences, and then you're starting to review other things. Games could be 3.5 hours long. Like, it's just, that can't happen. So until the technology gets to a point, it's there where you could have a tablet and could have the view. But until it gets to the point where you have like a video review person in each arena as well, that's ready to queue it up, very experienced, and can cut these delay times to review the call to 5 minutes or less, then it's, I say it's a no-go. You can't have things drawn out for 30 minutes trying to see a play.
When you have a head official in the rink, I think it's a great opportunity for them to have the iPad to actually go down to their bench. And
if it can be done quickly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
100%. If it can be done quickly.
And also the head referee is not always there. But in a game of this magnitude, somebody's there. Yeah. Paul Raycroft was there. Brad Howard was there. So there's certainly a possibility. I'll also say it wasn't something. It was a thing that led to a couple of things that led to the goal. It wasn't like a thing and then the puck went right in. Like Sliva went in, made a nice play, took a shot. You know, he did have a good edge on Luke Leper. You know, maybe it was bang bang, but you know, if he hit Sliva in stride anyways, and Sliva goes in, takes that shot, and then Aiden Hutchinson does the right thing. I talked to Trevor Blevins after the game about it. Go to the blue paint and stop and be hard to play against. And that's the Melfort Mustangs way. And you know, unfortunately for Luke Leper, you know, he tried to swing at that puck and clear the house, and it went off of Aiden Hutchinson and it went between the legs of Harmon Laser-Hume. And, you know, there was like some other controversial things that happened. You know, some people thought that, you know, Matt Egan, you know, hooked a Mustang and that allowed Keith Bruner to score a goal. So again, there were bounces both ways. And just on that final overtime goal, you know, a bunch of things had to happen after the controversy to go in. So, you know, if it doesn't go in, or if maybe Harmon covers that puck or Leper launches it down the ice, then we're not even having this conversation. So that's the way hockey goes. But, you know, it's interesting to have these conversations. But at the end of the day, it's a moot point and we move on to game four. Start with you, Nick. Game four tonight. Last question, last point here on this podcast. Got to be fun. How excited are you being in that barn? I know lots of crowds going to be there. It'll be very interesting to see how the Mustangs come out and the Bombers come out.
I'm really excited. You know, we talk a lot about the Flin Flon Bombers and how good that team is coming into this series, how much the Melfort Mustangs are underdogs. And I've talked to a couple of Mustangs here when I've been interviewing in between the benches and stuff like that. I brought the term underdog up to them. They don't like it. They've never liked it from the beginning of the series. They've thought that they are just as good, if not better, than this Flin Flon Bombers squad. And they've proved that they are. They're skating with these guys for three straight games and surprising everybody except themselves around this league right now. And I think Flin Flon's got to find a way to have some real big pushback here tonight. Like, I really don't see this series ending in four, and that's no disrespect to the Melfort Mustangs. It's respect to the Flin Flon Bombers for what they've done and the skill that they have on their team. But I mean, Melfort's played, they've hit every box on their checklist that they've needed to. They've slowed the game down, taken the crowd out of it in Flin Flon. They've bounced back when Flin Flon's been able to score on big pushes here. And if Melfort continues to do that tonight, well, then we might be celebrating tonight.
For sure. Well, Rory,
mm-hmm.
last word is yours. What's going to happen tonight?
I'm not going to say anything else. I've said it before the series started. I think it's going to be early for Flin Flon. Not taking away anything from Melfort. They just went through a grueling 7-game series. Flin Flon was rested. They looked dominant. They never lost in the playoffs. They never trailed for longer than 7 minutes combined in the playoffs. It was just, I was like, I think this is going to be a 5-game series for Flin Flon. Melfort wins the first game. I think Flin Flon will probably bounce back in game two. Melfort wins the second game. I think getting away on the road is good for Flin Flon. They'll probably win game three. Melfort wins game three. I don't know what's going to happen. I've been wrong every time. I just know for the Flin Flon Bombers, they if things start to get going not their way, that's what's going to lose them the game. Don't get frustrated. Don't be taking dumb penalties if it's 1-0 Melfort. If you get two PKs in a row and not a power play yet, don't get frustrated. Don't get, you know, complaining, because that's going to take you away from your game. You have one game left to keep your season alive. Okay. That should be the focus. 60 minutes every shift. Just focus on that shift. No extracurricular stuff. And try to win this game and bring it back home.
Yeah, good point. Discipline in all sorts of ways is going to be critical. It's an elimination game. Could be the last game for a bunch of guys. Well, fellas, should be a lot of fun. We're going to say goodbye here on SJHL Insider, but make sure you all stay tuned on SaskTel TV, Max Local, channel 38 and
348.
Yeah. Check that out. And also on Full Hockey. Sorry for putting on the spot. Yeah,
I just had to work a bit. It's still early.
About it. Yeah, it's early in our minds. And also, you know, just follow us on all over the social medias. I know myself and Clark and Connor Tate have been doing a lot of work on social media. So make sure you go on there. But try to stay positive, folks. It's a lot of fun. These are young kids, and these are people trying to do their best for you out there. So it should be a lot of fun. And we will end it on that.
The rules.
Nice job, pal.